This is Marking Out. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. Follow on Twitter. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. Marking out. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. Spreading like fisting. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. We're marking out. Pro Wrestling Talk by Pro Wrestling Fans.
Welcome to Marking Out, Pro Wrestling Talk by Pro Wrestling Fans. This is episode 686. Thanks for listening. Make sure you check out previous episodes at markingout.com. Go check us out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever else you may be listening to podcasts. Give us a 5-star rating, please. Also, buy a t-shirt over at prowrestlingtees.com/markingout. Give us a like over on Twitter at markingout. Give us a follow on Instagram at markingout11. Give us a like over on Facebook. Also, check us out on TikTok, Twitch, and everywhere else on social media platforms. You can follow me, Dave, the Rave, over on all social media platforms at DavidPTDPT. You can follow Brandon at BTTG161 and Chris over on Twitter at ChrisSweenDog and on Instagram at CMSweeney85. But that being said, it is episode 686 and I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
Still not awesome as always, but I feel myself perhaps getting there finally again. Hopefully, knock on wood. How about yourself?
I'm feeling good. I am feeling good.
How was your week?
Hopefully we're both on the up and up.
Yeah, you sound much better this week.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
How was your week, though?
My week was good. My week was good. How about yours?
I did literally nothing.
Nice. That's how I like to hear. You know, sometimes there's just nothing to be done. But how about we just get right into it? Get right into some sports entertainment and talk about some Monday Night Raw.
Monday Night Nitro. They used a different set, by the way, this week, I believe, to pack in as many people as possible inside Chicago. But it opened up with the American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes. To me, this was a lot of nothing. It was just Cody really saying that he hates Roman Reigns until The Rock showed up and made an unexpected appearance, which happened to be spoiled over the weekend. And
oh man, I'm glad I was not spoiled.
Yeah, it was spoiled by somebody who I don't know if they own a car company or something, but they were requested a car for The Rock or whatever, and they posted it, and I happened to see it. I don't know what specifically it was, but it seemed like The Rock was showing up to Monday Night Raw. And all he did in the intro was stare at Cody Rhodes, and then...
Well, even before the intro part where they get in the ring, I think that the entire entrance, the pop for
The Rock was
huge.
Oh, even the camera shot was cool.
And yeah, that camera shot of the lightning striking, and then it seemed like The Rock just appeared out of nowhere. He was just like walking through, and the lightning struck, and he was just like right there, walking powerful towards the ring. It was such a view, such a shot, like you mentioned, you know, that camera view of over the shoulder, the pullout over the shoulder of Cody looking at that entrance and then seeing The Rock appear.
Careful,
but like
though.
You said, they met in the ring. No words spoken at all.
I was going to say,
the
be
Rock
careful.
Staring him down, goes
be careful talking about the entrances, though, because you get called names on Twitter and you get made fun of now if you think a camera angle is cool.
Now, whatever. But so no words were spoken on the mic together, but The Rock leaned into Cody Rhodes and whispered something to him that we do not know what was said.
We know exactly
Cody
what
held
he said.
His own, but The Rock just said
hello.
What he said.
We know exactly what The Rock said.
What'd he say?
He said, listen to Marking Out, Pro Wrestling Talk by Pro Wrestling Fans.
There you go. That is what The Rock said.
He and actually then said, I'm going to make you bleed. So,
and then he left the ring.
Yeah, and so. then Jackie Redmond tried to ask The Rock, or not tried to, she asked The Rock about what he whispered, and he said, go ask Cody, and then Cody said it was a promise that The Rock can't keep, but we'll get to that.
Yeah, yeah, so at the time, we do not know what was said.
I mean, if you can read, it was pretty clear what he said, if you were able to read the lips.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the first match of the evening saw Ricochet pick up the victory over JD McDonagh. The Judgment Day had a meeting beforehand, just trying to get it drilled into JD's head, like, you need to win this. And I thought this was a great match. We saw Dominic Mysterio put JD McDonagh's leg on the rope, which gave JD some time to recover, but the match continued from there. He got involved again later on and pulled the ropes to crotch Ricochet right in front of the referee. And I did not understand, instead of a DQ there, the referee just kicked him from ringside. So that's like big time referee's discretion.
Yeah.
Because if you're crotching you're the illegal partner, or not even partner, you're outside the ring, you get up on the apron, crotch the legal competitor, boom, right in front of the ref. Ref saw it.
So, yeah, I would think that would be a DQ, but...
But he recovered and hit a shooting star press to a standing JD McDonagh to pick up that victory, which I thought was really cool, but this match was packed with a bunch of cool spots. That, what was it, like an arm drag or whatever? He pulled him up via arm drag into the Canadian Destroyer spot.
Yeah, he had... I mean, Ricochet was on the ground, too.
You know, he sold it. He sold it. He stayed there. You know, he didn't get up and try to do a return Canadian Destroyer.
Yeah, what an epic Canadian Destroyer.
After that match, we saw CM Punk come out and mention that he will be at WrestleMania. And he mentioned all the people who talk about him, like Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, Drew McIntyre. And then McIntyre showed up. I think the best line from this whole segment was that rehab line, saying like, you don't drink, you don't smoke, but for some reason you always find yourself in rehab. I thought that was really funny.
Yeah, they had so many lines back and forth to each other, even with the Chosen One line that was very controversial.
I don't know if you would have, not really the smartest thing to have said.
I saw that was a hot top,
I don't think that was the smartest thing to have done.
Yeah, that was definitely a hot topic to speak about because, I definitely understand it and how he spoke about the Chosen One because it's, you know, Vince. And then with that being said, I thought that how Drew McIntyre went on over to the commentary table and just sat down, it was awesome. It was awesome, them going back and forth only for Seth Rollins to come on out.
Well, before that,
CM Punk.
Before that, even Drew McIntyre told CM Punk that he's like, you should be a guest commentator for my match. I want you to do commentary for my match to see me win the championship. And then that's when Seth Rollins showed up and he pulled the crowd. He's like, should CM Punk do commentary? And the fans, fans popped me big time here because they weren't necessarily all for him doing commentary. They were chanting guest referee. And Seth Rollins was like, it doesn't matter if CM Punk is there. They also alluded to CM Punk not being able to actually count. And because he has the hurt arm, Punk got down on the mat and counted with his other arm. So I thought that was really funny.
Yeah, 1, 2, 3. But something that I liked a lot was even with this part, it was... Just, it seemed so unscripted, and it seemed, this entire segment was just incredible.
And, so the end point was CM Punk saying he will be at WrestleMania, he will sit on commentary for Drew McIntyre versus Seth Rollins, and then Drew McIntyre yelled at CM Punk, and Seth Rollins ends up super kicking him, and hits a stomp on Drew McIntyre.
Yeah, I'm going to backtrack a little bit. I really like CM Punk's reactions to to Seth Rollins coming out too. He just dropped to the ground being like, damn, like, why is this guy coming out right now? And then right at the start, Seth Rollins is just like, do you want to know what I think? And CM Punk's just like, no. I thought that the three of these wrestlers were incredible on the mic. It was a lot of fun to hear them go back and forth. I loved how CM Punk's theme song started hitting. And Drew McIntyre, that led to Drew McIntyre getting the ring where he was just like, no, 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 you don't play CM Punk's theme song. Play my theme song and all of that. I like that part. I really did like the three of this.
For me, it came off as like an after the show or a live event sort of segment.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense. Like, this was super long. Very, very entertaining. So it's not something we're necessarily used to for television these days.
Yeah.
And then we were able to see Drew McIntyre talking with Paul Heyman.
Makes you wonder. And something very interesting, too, is the next two matches, I believe, didn't even have entrances.
Yeah, so I assume they went long with this segment and they cut down entrances for Candice LeRae.
Yeah, Candice LeRae picked up the victory over Ivy Nile. Candice LeRae, during the match, tried to get Indy Hartwell to cheat a little bit. You know, Candice was distracting the referee in the opposite corner. Indy Hartwell
was faking an injury
of the ring.
She faked an injury to do that. She punched Maxine off the apron.
Yeah, faking an injury, and Indy Hartwell was outside of the ring with Ivy Nile, and instead of attacking her, Ivy Nile just got right back into the ring, and she ran over at Candice LeRae, but the referee stopped her, and that was when Candice LeRae was able to pick up a cheap, very quick 1-2-3.
And Indy Hartwell was not pleased with that.
No, Indy Hartwell was not happy with Candice LeRae's actions, which I totally fine with them splitting up and Candice going full-blown heel. Well, even
I don't
further.
Know if they will split up. I find it very difficult to... Like, right now, I could see, like, yes, I can see them splitting up, but I would find it very difficult with them splitting up.
I could see them split and, you know, maybe Index. Maybe Dexter kind of...
It would be nice if Dexter Lumis, he's just been gone for...
Yeah. Maybe he becomes the sane person for Indy to be like, listen, this isn't the way.
Listen, he's going to have to draw it out for her. What do you mean?
Nah. But next up, you had a no contest between DIY and the New Day. It was a good match.
Yeah. Austin Truth sat on commentary. And I enjoyed what we got from this actual match. But the Judgment Day showed up and they attacked both teams. And The Miz ends up jumping in, but they shut him down. And Damian Priest turns all their attention to R-Truth. And R-Truth is like, I'm on commentary. I'm not fighting. And Truth ends up fighting them off for a bit, but he also got shut down.
And it was hilarious because R-Truth is like looking at Michael Cole and stuff and being like, go to commercial, go to commercial.
Yeah.
Like, as the Judgment Day is starting to surround, he's like, cut to commercial. But very awesome, and R-Truth showing off his athletic abilities because he was hitting that, like, the jumping side kick and stuff like that at such a close range to, like, JD McDonagh and stuff like that, where it's just so impressive with what R-Truth is doing at his age right now. But next up, you had Andrade pick up the victory over Giovanni Vinci. This match was a solid match.
This was a match that was supposed to see Ivar, but he's not medically cleared, unfortunately. But I did enjoy this match, and I'm glad that we get another match on TV with Andrade. They called it his return to Monday Night Raw, but he was on Raw for the... I think backstage he was back, on Raw at least, for the past 2 weeks. And then it was like 3 weeks since we've seen him wrestle on Raw.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand them saying, like, his return to Monday Night Raw. And the only thing about this segment that I didn't like is that new finisher of his. He's using Dawkins' finisher. And it's like, not... To me, that doesn't fit Andrade.
Yeah.
I don't know if they were like, hey, we want you to come up with a new finisher. Or if he was like, I would like to come up with a new finisher. But I don't like that move for him. Mm-hmm. And I'd almost rather see him finish the match with that spinning back out elbow if he's going to use a different finisher.
Yeah, that spinning back elbow was always incredible.
Yeah.
You know?
After that, we had Rhea Ripley come out, and she said that she feels like Becky Lynch isn't giving her the attention that she deserves. And then Dominic went to talk, and he got booed, but Becky Lynch showed up, and Becky Lynch made light of Rhea Ripley not wrestling on Monday Night Raw anymore like she's been doing. And Rhea Ripley basically said she doesn't have to. And they went back and forth. Dominic Mysterio ends up stepping up to Becky Lynch, and she decked him. I thought that was fantastic.
Yeah, I thought that this was really incredible. That this entire segment, them going back and forth with Rhea Ripley bringing up Rue, which is Becky Lynch's daughter, and then Seth Becky Rollins really getting very passionate, and you can see the tears just starting to build up and build up. And Rhea Ripley had the entire crowd eating out of the palm of her hand. She was just saying how all she has to do is post a pic, and she has all of them. And what's funny is I feel like Becky was trying to go for that face route, heel route, but the fans were so supportive of Rhea Ripley that it's going to be very interesting to see the reaction down the line, you know, because Rhea Ripley is supposed to be a heel with her attack, well, mentioning Rue, but that shot, that cold clock that Becky rocked Dominic with was nice.
And it led to her and Rhea Ripley brawling, which was separated, but like Becky Lynch spoke about in her promo about, like, oh, all you care, I don't know if she necessarily said all you care about are viral moments or whatnot, but over the weekend, one of those viral moments happened with Rhea Ripley doing the stink face. And it's like, Becky Lynch isn't 100% incorrect with what she was saying.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm very much so looking forward to their match at WrestleMania. And a lot, obviously, the most talked about stuff from Monday Night Raw was that ending of Monday Night Raw. But McDonough and Ricochet, as well as this Becky Lynch and Rhea Ripley segment, for me, I thought were like top tier moments of this episode.
Mm-hmm.
And after that segment, we saw Bronson Reed pick up the victory over Sami Zayn. We saw Chad Gable meet up with Sami Zayn, and he told him, you need to focus on what's in front of you, not Gunther. And then Gunther was asked earlier about potentially scouting this match, and he kind of like laughs it off, and he said no. He ends up showing up during the match. And we see in this match, Sami Zayn did not listen to Chad Gable. He took his focus off of Bronson Reed, what's in front of him, and put it all on Gunther. And that led to Sami Zayn losing the match, which very much so surprised me.
You know, I think so too. And I feel like it kind of can lead to Sami going heel.
I don't think it'll lead to him going heel. I just think it'll lead to him losing at WrestleMania.
I mean, I definitely think he's going to lose at WrestleMania.
Which is still like very surprising, because I don't know how many months ago I've been saying this. It was like 100% Gunther is going to be losing that championship at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know when he'll lose the title.
I can't pinpoint it either, because I can only think that it's going to be Gable versus Gunther at SummerSlam.
Something like that.
And that could be the only thing that I could really see happening.
Unless they're waiting for Sheamus to be healed up, if he's like injured. I have no
idea.
He's
out with injury?
I don't know. I just assume that.
I saw something about his contract being up soon.
Yeah, I don't know anything about his contract. I hope he stays with WWE, and I hope he gets that Grand Slam. But
future Hall of Famer easily.
100%. But Chad Gable ends up calming Sami Zayn down after this match, and obviously he's pissed off that he let Gunther get in his head. And Chad Gable was like, you really need a different approach. And if you want one, listen to me, basically. So it almost seems like Chad Gable at WrestleMania is going to be coaching Sami Zayn. Which I don't know how I feel about that. It's not something, I don't know. I feel like if Chad Gable wasn't going to be the one dethroning Gunther at WrestleMania, I would have liked to have seen him win the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. It could still happen, but who knows?
Yeah.
And then the main event of Monday Night Raw saw Jey Uso pick up the victory over Shinsuke Nakamura. We saw Solo and Jimmy Uso show up before the match. Seth Rollins also spoke to Jey before the match. And he said something feels off. And then he turns away and makes a face to where the internet's like, wait a minute. Seth Rollins is probably going to cost Cody his match at WrestleMania. Which I really hope is not the case.
Yeah, I don't think so.
But the Bloodline shows up during the match, and they were met by Cody Rhodes. They were met by Seth Rollins, and Drew McIntyre ran down. He brawled with Seth Rollins, and the match was over shortly after all that commotion took place. But the brawl, do you want to speak about this match at all?
Not really. More so the brawl.
The brawl continues into the back, but it's, who is it? Cody Rhodes and Solo, I think. Unless it was Cody and Jey. But The Rock ends up attacking Cody Rhodes. And I liked that they took this segment. He like attacked Cody Rhodes. If you didn't see this segment, go watch it.
He was beating him down in the backstage area. And then it just led to them battling to the outside where it, well, like, just to add to the dramatic effect, it was raining.
Yeah, which obviously you can't plan on something like that, but I thought that was fantastic. Like
if it was sunny out, if it was sunny in Florida, kind of a weather, or sunny in Chicago, even kind of a weather, and they were out there, it wouldn't hit as strong. But because it was stormy, you had water on the ground, and you had the water, the rain dripping from The Rock and Cody Rhodes, just, it really made it more impactful. What about that truck with Stone Cold and John Cena just so happening to be parked in perfect view during this segment?
Which apparently is not even a truck that they've been using.
Exactly.
So, it does seem like it foreshadows them coming out at WrestleMania on Sunday to help Cody Rhodes. To help stop The Rock or whatever is going to be taking place. But this segment was very spoken about, obviously. Cody Rhodes got busted open. I assume he cut himself for that. But that's what The Rock whispered to Cody. I'm going to make you bleed tonight.
Yeah, and then we find out what he said from that earlier moment during the beginning of Monday Night Raw. And just like that, it came full circle. And how The Rock was wearing that belt, that saying, what was it, Mama Rhodes?
I think that's what it said.
All right, Mama Rhodes. And he just took off that belt and he wiped that blood. He took his hand, wiped Cody Rhodes' face, and just wiped that blood all over that belt. It was incredible.
I think seems very unlikely, but I think we need Dustin Rhodes. You can add John Cena. You can add Stone Cold. I don't know if you're going to add Hulk Hogan or whatever, but we really, really need Goldust, Dustin Rhodes here.
That would be special. I don't see that happening. Something that, since you brought up Hulk Hogan, interesting fact that I saw was that the moment when you had Hulk Hogan versus The Rock at their WrestleMania matchup, The Rock is actually 3 years older than how old Hulk Hogan was during that match.
I think I saw something similar where The Rock, I think, is almost the same age as Ric Flair was when Rick was the GM of Raw.
Yeah.
Which, like, is like, how The Rock, how obviously looks that so much better than Hogan and Flair, but...
Right? That just shows, like, what happens, I guess, when you take care of your body and
I don't
stuff
think it's
like
anything about taking care of your body. It's just generations look different. Because you can look at people on TV shows back in the day, and they're like, we look at them to be super old, and it's like, wait a minute, I'm older than him now.
Yeah, I mean, look at, for example, look at Cheers.
Yeah.
I think when everybody was on Cheers, they were in their like late 20s, early 30s.
Yeah, but now it's funny because it's kind of like reset itself because I think it's, what is it, Gen Z look like they're all in their 50s now. And it's the weirdest thing. People, it's one of the funniest things. You see it on TikTok. People are like, oh, how old do I look? And it's like, brother, you look like a grizzled 50. And then you see the comments. And everyone's like, oh, you like look like you're 50, you're 45, blah, blah. And then the next video they post is like, I'm 25. And it's like, in what world are you 25? Those videos blow me away because they literally look old. Mm-hmm. I feel like I look age appropriate. I look like I should be 35.
Yeah.
They look like they're 50. So it's like it reset. But
yeah.
But fantastic close to Monday Night Raw. Again, that was a long segment as well.
Mm-hmm.
Not really great for women's wrestling on Monday Night Raw. But they had those two big segments.
Apparently, there was a standing ovation in Chicago after this at the live event. I didn't hear the video, but I just saw the reaction.
For who? For Cody and Rock?
Yeah. Apparently, after that, there was a standing ovation from the crowd.
Yeah, so that's Monday Night Raw.
Let's move on to some NXT. Kicking off with Dijak. Picking up the victory over Spears, the chairman himself. I thought that this was a nice hard-hitting match to start the NXT off with.
Joe Gacy showed up from under the ring, and he took the chair. And then later on, Sean Spears went for his chair and noticed it was missing. This is like a long time from when it went missing to when the chair, when he realized it was missing.
Yeah.
But that small distraction pretty much cost him that match. And Joe Gacy showed up after the match to swing the chair around on the commentary table. And then later on, we saw Joe Gacy. We see, first of all, Sean Spears is leaving the Performance Center, gets stopped for an interview. Joe Gacy tossed the chair off the top of the roof of the Performance Center. And he's like, whoops. And then Obafemi ends up showing up, puts his foot on the chair. So, whatever happens, maybe that'll happen after the stand and deliver match. Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
We saw a video promo with Roxanne Perez, a video segment, where she was watching old clips of herself and it was all about how she wanted everyone to like her back then. And then she called herself gullible. And she cut up pictures of herself with the superstars that she met when she was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And said that girl is dead. And now she's going to be breaking rules and doing it her way. So I thought this was a very good segment. I liked watching like her cutting up those pictures that we've seen her be like, I met so-and-so. As a child, I idolized so-and-so. It's kind of like when Bailey cut those Bailey buddies.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that segment. After that, we saw Thea Hale pick up the victory over Jasmine Nix. We saw JC Jane get involved and almost caused Thea Hale to lose right away. But we saw the match continue. She ends up taking the towel from Andre Chase when Thea Hale was locked in the Lotus Lock, and she threw it into the ring. And Riley Osborne ran into the ring to catch the towel, so the referee, I guess, wouldn't call for the bell or whatnot, as if Andre Chase threw the towel in for Thea. And somehow, the referee, instead of throwing JC Jane from the ringside area, makes all of Chase U leave.
Yeah, I tossed out the entire Chase U.
And then JC gets up on the apron and slapped Thea Hale. And she almost lost again, but she like snapped and ends up locking Jasmine Nix in that Kimura lock. And I like that. Like, it fired up Thea Hale. It backfired on JC Jane.
Yeah, but I mean, after all that, Kiana James and Izzy Dame ended up helping Jane just beat down Hale until Henley and Jordan ended up coming out to make the save.
Yeah.
I'm looks still a like, huge mark for Kalani Jordan.
It looks like it could be a six-woman tag, perhaps. Although Jasmine Nix, I feel like she should also be involved. So maybe an eight-woman tag. But which, by the way, for it to be her first TV match, I enjoyed her moveset. I thought she had a good moveset. After that, though, we had an open challenge from Lola Vice. And it was answered by Natalya, who picked up the victory over Lola Vice. I think it's really cool to see Natty at NXT.
Yeah, definitely a nice surprise to see her there. Especially working with all of them.
But they have, like, I don't want to say they have similar movesets, but they have, it's not similar backgrounds, but does that make sense if I say similar background?
I guess. I don't know.
Even though it's not, like, obviously Natty's background is pro wrestling, but it's like Heart Dungeon pro wrestling, and Lola Vice is like MMA. So to me, in my head, it's like kind of similar.
Yeah. Well, that MMA came in handy. I mean, what about the reversal of the sharpshooter to the heel lock?
I thought all of this match, I was very impressed by. And I like to see Natty.
Natalya picked up that victory.
Yeah, I like to see Natty going up against that next generation. The only thing that I don't think was necessary from this, obviously it'll further a storyline, but Carmen Petrovic made her way out and distracted Lola Vice. So I would have preferred for her to like not be involved there, especially since we had outside interference in all the other matches. But outside of that, I like the match.
Yeah.
After that, we had Sol Ruka, where she had a video about Blair Davenport, where she threatened to get revenge for her on her next week. Blair Davenport answered, so we're going to be seeing Sol Ruka and Blair Davenport next week on NXT. And then we saw Ilya Dragunov pick up the victory over Stax, which could have very easily been a very quick match. But it wasn't, and I'm very glad it wasn't. I think it elevates Stax almost in the way that we saw Trick elevated when he faced Ilya Dragunov.
Okay.
But the main story from this is that Tony D'Angelo sent Luca Crucifino out to find Ilya Dragunov and invite him to dinner. And it's like this big secretive place. It's not the normal restaurant. I don't know where it's going to be, but he needed an envelope with, an address to show up at.
Shocker, it's Cheesecake Factory.
I don't think it's going to be Cheesecake Factory. After that, we saw Ridge Holland come out, and he started to thank people as if he was going to retire. And then he announced that he was stepping away from in-ring competition indefinitely. And he got a standing ovation, thank you, Ridge chant. And I was just out there waiting for Gallus to show up and maybe attack him. And that didn't happen. He was moved from the NXT roster page to the alumni page. It's apparently just a storyline. But it's like, I didn't want to see Ridge having to leave NXT or anything like that. So I'm happy that it's a storyline.
Yeah, we'll have to see what happens with that, you know?
Absolutely. After that,
we had Josh Briggs picked up the victory over Duke Hudson. During this match, it seemed like Hudson was mostly the underdog against Briggs.
Yeah, also Dijak was on commentary here, and I liked when Vic Joseph asked Dijak if he thinks he should just be given the North American Championship match, and Dijak was like, what do you mean given? I've earned that title shot. And as far as the match goes, I thought it was good. I like that I was wrong with my thoughts in who was going to win this. Because I thought Duke Hudson was going to be winning this. But Josh Briggs ends up winning. And I was not expecting that.
Meh.
He took his eyes off of Duke Hudson towards the end and came back from it. And then Obafemi showed up afterwards and he said he has two worthy opponents for Stand and Deliver. And I thought that match was going to be much, much bigger. I think I spoke about it last week. I thought it was going to be like a crazy ladder match. But I guess maybe they don't want to do that with the same... I mean, you have WrestleMania the same day with a ladder match.
Mm-hmm.
So, I assume it'll be the same day.
Meh.
After that, we saw the production truck. Well, not yet, but Metaphor ends up taking over the production truck. And Noam Dar announced that they are officially the hosts of Stand and Deliver. They're going to have a Supernova Sessions next week with Lyra Valkyria and Roxanne Perez to just, I guess, hype up their match at Stand and Deliver. They also aired a bunch of videos in between the matches of Trick Williams and Carmelo Hayes to hype up their match. And it included people like CM Punk talking about Trick Williams and Carmelo Hayes. I think it was John Cena, Cody Rhodes. So I thought that was a very well done, put together video package altogether. And then the main event of NXT saw the Wolf Dogs pick up the victory over Alpha Academy. Earlier in the night, we saw the OC speak to the Wolf Dogs and basically say, come Stand and Deliver. We're going to be the ones taking your titles, but we're going to pin Alpha Academy to do it. And the Wolf Dogs were like, well, Alpha Academy is not going to be in that match. And I was so sure we would see Otis and Tozawa in that match at Stand and Deliver. So, obviously I'm wrong. They are not going to be part of it. But I enjoyed the match. I think the spot that everyone was talking about from this was that Doomsday device into the moonsault slam that Bron Breakker did. Very, very similar to his dad at WrestleMania 9. Very similar to what Scott Steiner used to do. Well, not from the Doomsday position, but...
Yeah, Rick Steiner actually did something similar.
I think Rick's was botched. I don't like the way his looks at all.
I like it looked like more like he...
It goes into like a power slam or whatever, but he like... To me, it looks like he falls.
I don't know. For me, it looks like a power slam. But yeah, Wolf Dogs picking up the victory over Alpha Academy.
Also, by the way, the Wolf Dogs powerbombed Otis through the commentary table. And then Corbin power bombs the heck out of Tozawa and picks him up for a spear from Bron Breakker to get that victory. So, good finish on that match. We had the LWO show up afterwards. The OC showed up. And then Axiom and Nathan Fraser showed up and ran down to the ring and all the teams brawled to end the show. To really hype up, like, I'm going to be that team facing the Wolf Dogs at Stand and Deliver. I still think it's going to be the Wolf Dogs versus the OC with the OC winning. So, but that is NXT going to move over to SmackDown. It opened up with Pretty Deadly picking up the victory over Team RKO, Randy Orton and Kevin Owens. I popped for that Pretty Deadly tag spot when Kit tried to save Elton from Randy Orton by going to the wrong corner and tagging himself in. I thought that was a really funny spot. But during the match, we saw Logan Paul show up. The referee was distracted outside the ring with Pretty Deadly and Randy Orton. And he knocked Kevin Owens out, and that led to the end of the match. Randy Orton was pissed off. He didn't know about Logan Paul, obviously. And then the fans, I guess, alerted him. And Randy Orton went under the ring, got Logan Paul. That was a funny, like, kind of like a Looney Tunes-esque segment. And Pretty Deadly took Randy Orton out at first. But then they got hit with a stunner and an RKO. Logan Paul I don't want to say ran away. Slowly ran away. It wasn't like a jog or anything. It was a very slow chase where Logan Paul ended up leaving in a car. But I feel like Randy Orton and Kevin Owens could have both gotten Logan Paul. But we'll see more with that in that triple threat match at WrestleMania. After that, we saw A-Town Down pick up the victory over the Street Profits to advance to WrestleMania in that ladder match. I thought we were just going to be seeing one team from SmackDown in this tournament to go to WrestleMania, which really didn't make sense in the first place to me. But I guess the two brackets have their own winner that went to WrestleMania. So that, like, and that, the reason why I thought like the Dudley Boys or somebody else would be in this is because I literally thought we were only going to see one team. Now with all of these teams, there's no empty spot. And I don't know if we would see 14 men in that one match. But this match on SmackDown was pretty even. It seemed like the Street Profits were going to win, but Karrion Kross and Scarlett ended up on the screen with Bobby Lashley and B-Fab taken out in their locker room. And Dawkins left. And Austin Theory got his knees up for that frog splash and picked up the victory off of that. And then Authors of Pain showed up, beat the Street Profits down. Karrion Kross showed up. Bobby Lashley hobbled down. And he took down Karrion Kross, but Authors of Pain took him out. And that ended that segment. I would really like it if B-Fab and Scarlett were part of the match. I don't know if that'll happen. After that, we had Legado del Fantasma come out. Santos wanted to thank Dominic for his help last week, and he spoke about beating Rey Mysterio last week. Dom showed up. Incredible heat. Absolutely incredible heat. But Santos apologized to Dominic and said that he was always right. And then Rey Mysterio and the rest of the LWO showed up. And Rey issued a challenge to Escobar for a tag match. It's Santos Escobar and Dominic versus Rey and a partner of his choosing. The crowd chanted for Carlito. But then Rey introduced the newest member of the LWO, Dragon Lee, which is really cool because Dragon Lee made his first like televised debut last year at Stand and Deliver. But I was hoping that since Bad Bunny was free on Sunday, he would be involved in this match. And that's he could still have that. So I'm not 100% saying he won't. Will it happen? Probably not. But this segment ends in a giant brawl. Everyone online seemed to think Carlito is going to be turning on Rey Mysterio at WrestleMania based on the facial expressions he had during the segment, which I could totally see. But I don't know if that'll happen. And on the Raw side of this, I really thought we were going to be seeing like Ricochet and Andrade or somebody. I thought Pat McAfee even versus Dominic and JD McDonagh. And now I assume not unless Dominic would work both nights. But I highly doubt that. And then they aired a segment with the Judgment Day where they were annoyed by all of that and Dominic not telling them. And then Damian Priest said that WrestleMania is important for them as a group and also as individuals. So that's a tease for the Money in the Bank. And I do hope we see him walk out as champion. I think that'd be cool. After that, British Strong Style picked up the victory over Los Lotharios to advance to that WrestleMania ladder match for the brawl that Los Lotharios had just gone through. I don't think they let it affect them too much in this match. But I think in the end, it seemed like Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate would be the team to move on, especially if you have LWO and Legado del Fantasma facing off at WrestleMania, even if it's just a tag match. And then they showed a recap of the brawl between Cody Rhodes and The Rock. And Paul Heyman said that it was an order from Roman Reigns. So I like that we had a further story from that. They also showed a clip. The Rock posted it earlier. Of just because the cameras yell cut doesn't mean that's the end. And I thought that was a unique thing to add to the show. After that, we saw AJ Styles come out. He spoke earlier to Nick Aldis to confirm that LA Knight wouldn't be there. And Aldis told him that he asked LA Knight not to be there. And AJ yelled at him. He's like, you should have told him not to be there. And then AJ Styles blamed the fans for LA Knight showing up to his house and said that he'll expose LA Knight come WrestleMania. And he said, I know LA Knight is here. So just come on out. I like the camera guy spot where he thought it was maybe the camera guy. And then somebody jumped the barricade. He goes, let's hit him. There he is. Get him. They unmask it. It's not LA Knight. And LA Knight ends up being disguised as a security guard, which is funny because he has previously played a security guard for WWE TV. But they brawled. AJ Styles escaped. And LA Knight said at WrestleMania, everyone's going to know whose game it is. I think that was a good segment. We had a Tiffany Stratton vignette where it's basically just a bunch of Tiffany Stratton stuff. I like them incorporating the gymnastic clips into it. But earlier in the night, they aired a video package for Io talking about Bayley. And after they yelled cut, Bayley showed up and attacked Io. And they brawled. I thought that was a very unique way to have them both on this show. And we don't really see stuff like that. As far as like, because I don't want to say it's like breaking the fourth wall, because it's not. But I don't know what the correct term of that would be. But it was, I mean, somewhat similar to The Rock and Cody from Monday Night Raw with that clip that The Rock released. So I thought that was pretty cool. And I still wish this match was inside the Hell in a Cell. And in a perfect world, I think they'd be in the main event, but that's not happening. And then we also saw earlier on Jade Cargill come to SmackDown, make it official. Fantastic entrance. They have a laser that like opens up and makes it look like some portal is opened. They have smoke and wind, snow, which is a play on her catchphrase, a storm is coming. And I thought overall the promo was a little weak. And I was hoping for something to happen during this, but I just assumed that we would see more later on. We also saw right after that segment, Damage Control interviewed. And they were like, we don't care about Jade Cargill. We're focused on Bianca Belair and Dakota Kai beating Bianca Belair. And then that brings us to the main event of SmackDown. Bianca Belair picked up the victory over Dakota Kai. Pretty even match. And I thought it was going to be over much sooner than it was. So I'm glad I was wrong on that. And I'm happy it was an actual main event. There did seem to be some referee's discretion with counting during this. But I enjoy this match. Bianca Belair picked up that win. And while she was making that pin, as soon as you hit the three, Kabuki Warriors rush the ring and start beating Bianca down. Naomi, like she said earlier, she'll have her back. She ran down to make that save, but obviously they brawled and took Naomi down. And ultimately, it was Jade Cargill who made that save. And she slowly walked down to the ring and took all three members of Damage Control out by herself. And I think it's going to be a match. I'm pumped to see that match if it's made official. They all looked like stars. This was a fantastic SmackDown, official SmackDown debut for Jade Cargill. And you have to put her on WrestleMania. You have to. So that was SmackDown. Gonna take a quick little break right now, and I'll be right back here on Markin' Out.
This is Judah Friedlander, the world champion, and you're listening to Markin' Out.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Markin' Out, episode 686. There was no collision last week, and I spoke about AEW Rampage last week because it aired right after Dynamite, so there's just AEW Dynamite for me to talk about this week, which kicked off with Will Ospreay picking up the victory over Shibata. I think the win was an obvious victory here, but I thought it was an enjoyable match. It was interesting to hear people booing Shibata. I feel like that's not typically something we hear in AEW. I did get kind of bored throughout this match. I don't think the outside brawling was necessary, especially when the referee took forever to count both of them out. I think my favorite part, and I guess least favorite part at the same time, was the ass cutter, because I thought that was a dope move, and then Shibata just no-sold it, so I really hated that. But Will Ospreay picked up the victory there, very much so needed for him. After that, we saw the Young Bucks pick up the victory over Private Party to advance in that tag team title tournament. They fought outside the ring in this match too, and the referee took way too long to start counting. I think the one moment for this that stands out in this match that I liked was that Falcon Arrow off the barricade that Nick did. I thought that was pretty cool. But he grabbed the ring bell to use, and then the referee took it away. And then while he was in the corner with that ring bell for whatever an eternity, Matt Jackson low blowed Private Party, one of them, I forget which one it was. And then one of the members of Private Party used a tag team title, and Nick ended up getting Matt's leg on the rope right in front of the referee, and they goofed their finisher, and then both of them were legally allowed to pin Marquand to pick up the victory. What kind of a dumb referee allows for both members to pin? That's just mind-blowing to me. After that, we had a backstage segment with Renee, Chris Jericho, and Hook. And Jericho's proposition for Hook was that he'll give Hook advice if he needs it. I thought this was a really bad segment. We don't need... They just released another Hook shirt, whatever they're called. It looks like a Nitro t-shirt. We don't need that. And Jericho right now is creative, has nothing for him. Just let him do commentary for, what is it, Collision? Rampage? I forget which show he does commentary on. I think it's probably Rampage. After that, Willow Nightingale picked up the victory over Anna Jay, Sky Blue, and Chris Statlander to become the number one contender. Even though I believe Julia Hart has beaten all of them multiple times, I think. Mercedes Moné sat on commentary for this. I don't think she added much to it. And I definitely don't understand Sky Blue being in this match, given her alliance to Julia Hart. But the match itself, some of it was all over the place. I like that Death Valley driver from Willow to Sky Blue on the apron. And then she got the doctor bomb on Anna Jay to pick up the victory. And truthfully, she's the only person in that match who would have made sense to have that victory, because you have Mercedes Moné, who they pronounced her name like three different ways on Dynamite this week. You have Mercedes Moné and Willow Nightingale. That's the story. That was Mercedes's last match. So Willow can go into that match at Dynasty, potentially beat Julia Hart for that title, and then the very first feud that she goes into is Mercedes. I think that would make the most sense. After that, the Best Friends picked up the victory over Undisputed Kingdom to advance in that tournament. This was another obvious victory. Does the Undisputed Kingdom even need to be in this tournament? They're the Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions. And then also the AEW released the rankings again. Somehow Moxley and Claudio find themselves on this ranking, but not in this tournament. But the main focus of this match, we saw the Bucks show up afterwards just to go up and down on their elevator. That was it. And Kyle O'Reilly was interviewed afterwards, and he said that he still wants to do everything by himself. He loves Undisputed Kingdom, but he's all about himself right now. And I think the end game for that better be him taking the title from Roderick Strong. It has to be. After that, the main event saw Swerve pick up the victory over Takeshita to become the number one contender. Like I said last week, they literally just did this storyline with Hangman and Swerve. I'm number one, you're number one. Let's wrestle to see who's number one. Even though with Hangman and Swerve, for some reason, Swerve was number one and Hangman was number two. That made no sense. They had the same amount of wins. But here, same amount of victories. Now Swerve is one up on Takeshita. I thought this was a good match. Very good main event. Samoa Joe watched this backstage. The Hurricane Rana to the outside that Swerve did, I thought was cool. The stomp on the apron I thought was nice. And now that Swerve won this match, he has to take that title from Samoa Joe at Dynasty. He has to. Unless there's going to be some sort of like finish where other people get involved. Maybe MJF shows up. I don't know. He was recently removed off of the Shop AEW and the roster page as well. But unless something like that happens and the real feud next is MJF versus Samoa Joe, Swerve has to be champion. Which to me kind of sucks. I would have liked to have seen Samoa Joe be a way more dominant champion, but if Swerve is going back to back for these for the same title, it has to be Swerve. You would kill Swerve if it's not. So that's a really short AEW segment, but that's all I have for this week. Hey, Brandon, got any shout outs?
Hey, old Kermit the Frog here, and you're listening to Brandon's Shoutouts. Yay!
The first shout-out goes to Taylor Swift, the Eras Tour, Taylor's version.
I think I actually mentioned it briefly 2 weeks ago, but I didn't actually rewatch it at that point. It's out now on Disney Plus with more songs that weren't part of the theatrical or the digital releases. They added The Archer, Long Live, and Wildest Dreams in their normal spots. And then, because previously it was just randomly played at the end of the movie for some reason. I don't know why they didn't edit it into the film in the actual like set list. But as far as the surprise songs go, they added I Can See You, Death by a Thousand Cuts, You Are in Love, and Maroon. Our Song and You're on Your Own Kid were already the surprise songs in the show, in the concert film. I think it's a fantastic concert. And I would 100% encourage everyone to watch it, even if you're not a Taylor Swift fan, because you could see what goes into her performances.
Yeah, she's incredible.
My next shout out goes to Tony Orlando, who retired from touring last week, which sucks because I never got to see him. And I think he's one of those artists that had I been there when he was performing at Epcot, I would have gone to all three of his performances. But this show, I keep seeing TikToks about it, was like crazy because you had, first of all, Joyce Vincent and Thelma Hopkins they end up joining him on stage for some songs. They were his backup singers known as Dawn, which I think primarily would know Thelma after she moved on from Dawn. She moved over to acting, and to our generation, I think she's probably most famous for being Aunt Rachel on Family Matters. So I thought it was cool that she was there to surprise him and sing backup again. They had a bunch of hits like Tie a Yellow Ribbon Round the Old Oak Tree, Candida, and truly one of my favorite songs of all time, Knock Three Times. So it was cool to see them perform all that together. Lee Greenwood, I believe, also performed God Bless the USA with him at that final show. I also saw a video where Jay Siegel from The Tokens sang The Lion Sleeps Tonight at that show, which is pretty cool. But Tony Orlando turns 80 years old next week, so I guess to be touring at that age and to have toured for the past 64 years, I think it's really great on him. I just wish I got to see him, and I hope, I don't know if this is retirement for him, like, 100%, but maybe he'll do, like, a one-off show that I'll be able to go to. I don't know. But my last shout-out goes to Quiet on Set, The Dark Side of Kids TV, which is a docuseries that details the behind-the-scenes world of Nickelodeon from the late 90s to the early 2010s, which is mainly Dan Schneider's rise to being a top guy there. And it covers some of the assaults that happened, the toxic workplace environment stories. Definitely a hard thing to watch. And it almost, I know they're adding a fifth episode with new content, but it seems like it's very unfinished as more horrifying stories keep coming out even after this aired. And it really sucks that stuff like that happened. And I feel terrible for everyone that was affected by that stuff. But I think it's an important series to watch.
I personally can't watch that stuff.
It's just, it's very unfortunate that stuff like that happened.
Yeah, it's awful. It's horrific. It's horrific.
Yeah, and it's streaming on Max. And hopefully this really can help so stuff that took place doesn't happen anymore. So those are my shout outs. Now it's time for our
mark out moment of the week.
That is right, our mark out moment of the week. I know for you, you're probably going to just say The Rock and Cody.
Yeah, The Rock, Cody, the Rollins, Punk, McIntyre, the Rhea Ripley, Becky Lynch. I marked out for all of the segments of the promos during this Monday Night Raw. And I also marked out for the introduction to WWE Speed, which is going to be on Twitter.
The introduction of it, like the Corey Graves video, or just like the fact that they're going to be doing it?
You know, the head-to-head 3-minute matches for the Speed Championship should be interesting.
Yeah.
You know, what about you? What are you marking out for?
Well, it was opening day this week for MLB. But
yeah, baseball is here.
I didn't watch any of the games, and I think the main thing that I took away from this was Karrion Kross using an ankle lock to break a baseball bat, which blew me away to see. And I feel like that was up there with one of those spots where like Mark Henry twists a spoon, or you have the apple that gets crushed with your bare hand. I just thought that was an incredible thing to see.
Yeah, I agree with you. That was really cool.
But I also watched a movie over the weekend called Back on the Strip. And I thought it was going to be a way different movie than what it was. But it was a comedy starring Spence Moore. Wesley Snipes was in it. Tiffany Haddish. J.D. Smoove. J.B. Smoove. I keep thinking with J.D. McDonough. But Gary Owen was in it. Faison Love. Bill Bellamy. Kevin Hart was also in it. But Spence's character ends up going to Las Vegas to become a magician, but instead becomes a stripper. And he ends up reuniting a group of the older guys, I guess, to become strippers again. But Gary Owens' character ends up, I think his name in the movie was Mr. X or something, and he ends up being a stripper under a lucha mask. So I thought that was really funny, and I popped for that. But that's really all I marked out for this week. That is episode 686. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. Of course, you can check it out on markingout.com, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, and everywhere else you listen to podcasts. You can follow us on Twitter at markingout. You can follow me, BTTG161, Chris Sweendog, CMSweeney85, David PTDPT, Facebook.com/MarkingOut, YouTube and Instagram, MarkingOut11. You can follow us at MarkingOut on TikTok. Maybe like the videos and get that algorithm into everybody's home, phone, I guess. I shouldn't say home. You could watch TikTok wherever you are for now. And then check us out, prowrestlingtees.com/markingout. And we wish you the
best of luck in your future endeavor.
Have a fantastic week.